Now time for the Taos Methodist Church service from Taos City on the Bay's Best, WIOS.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Taos Methodist Church. We're located at 20 East M 55 in Taos, Michigan. You're welcome to join us for worship Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 10 a.m. And we're broadcasting live from our sanctuary this morning. I'm Chris Kapler. I'm the pastor here, and we're just so glad that you've all joined us together to worship. It's a special day. We're going to have a very nice service today. You can join our live broadcast at WIOSradio.com and by radio at 1480 AM and 106.9 FM. You can also watch our live stream on Zoom and Facebook and YouTube. And links to all of these are available at our website, taosmc.org. And you can always learn more about us at our website, taosmc.org. Please take the registration of attendance pad and sign it and pass it on to the person in the pew next to you. That way we know who's here and how we can minister to your spiritual needs. Beautiful flowers under the cross this morning are from Bill and Wanda Roach in appreciation for the Sunday school workers and the children in the Christmas program, whom you'll see in a few minutes. Also, want to welcome the 5 new members who will be joining the church today and the 2 almost newly baptized children who will be baptized a little bit later in the service. Our weekend schedule is Saturdays. We have men's morning prayer group at 8:30 on Saturdays and casual worship at 4. And Sundays we have adult Sunday school class, children's Sunday school class, for all ages, at 9 and worship at 10. Continue to ask for helpers in our nursery. If you'd like to help, this is a great way to serve the congregation. And we need nursery helpers at 9 o'clock for the Sunday school hour and also different people at 10 o'clock for the worship hour. And there's a sign-up sheet in the gathering space for that. Always, we need people to help out with coffee after service. There is a sign-up table out there at the coffee and snack station. And we need volunteers to provide snacks and serve coffee after service. And this is a great way to practice hospitality. The ladies' Bible study is on hiatus until January the 8th, where they will pick up with Joshua chapter 12 again. And then our prayer ministry on Tuesday, December 19th, we have prayer ministry and the bell choir practice on Tuesday, December the 19th. There you go. Now, moving on to the next slide, our Wednesday, December 20th, the Sanctuary Choir meets at 5:45 and have book study at 7 p.m. And this coming Thursday, we have a blood drive. This is not Red Cross, it's Versity. Versity collects blood in Michigan, and they provide blood to hospitals in Michigan. So they do a very good job, and they'll be here from 1 to 5:30 on Thursday. Please contact our office if you'd like to donate on Thursday. Today we have our children's Christmas program during this service, so we're glad you're here, and it should be a very wonderful service. Mm-hmm. Next Sunday, I want to just clarify to all of us, this is December 24th, it's Christmas Eve, it is a Sunday. We have regular Sunday worship Sunday morning, Christmas Eve. We have a Christmas Eve, special Christmas Eve service Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, 2 services, one's regular, one's Christmas Eve. If you come both times, you will see different services. It's important. Okay? So please put that on your schedule for next Sunday, Christmas Eve. These are all the announcements I have. So with that, I would like to invite the Eldred and the Carraher families. Would you please come and lead us in the Advent wreath lighting? There is a microphone there. You have to push that until you see the green light. You're good? Okay, good.
The third Sunday of Advent, we are invited to reflect on the joy we have access to because of our faith in Jesus. One of the defining characteristics of Christ's followers is their joyful demeanor. Let's not allow the struggles of this world, this year I mean, to steal from the great joy we have because of Jesus. Philippians 4, 4 and 5 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gladness, gentleness, be evident to all. The Lord is near. Over the Advent, would you pray that the joy of the Lord would be evident in your heart and home? May God's Spirit transform the days leading up to Christmas into a time of holy anticipation, preparing our hearts as we joyfully prepare to celebrate the arrival of our King. The third week's scripture reading is Isaiah 35, 1 through 4. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and bloom. Like the crocus, it shall bloom abundantly and rejoice and joy with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon should be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God.
All right, the responsive reading. On leader, hear the people read the bold. The ransomed of the Lord shall return.
And come to Zion with singing.
Everlasting joy shall be upon their head.
They shall obtain joy and gladness.
And sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Amen. Amen.
This third Sunday of Advent, we read, pray, and reflect on the joy that God's plan gives us, foretold by the prophets and fulfilled by the life and death of Christ. And we meditate on the promise of Christ's coming, glory-filled return. Now I pray, Lord, would you restore the joy of our salvation? Help us to be willing to follow you with all we have, as we read the scriptures that remind us who you are and the ways you love us, ignite in us a sense of joy that overflows out of our hearts. Let this holy joy be contagious and spill over onto the lives of those around us. May your peace that surpasses all understanding be upon us, especially as we're wrapping up a year that has felt very scary and uncertain. Encourage our hearts with the knowledge that with you, we can live in your perfect peace no matter our circumstances. We thank you for the joy and the peace you give. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing together our opening hymn. What Child Is This?
What child is this who lays to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Our call to worship this morning is I'm the worship leader, so just follow along the P part. We join our faith and our hearts together in the words of a psalm to praise God, saying,
I will sing of the Lord's great love forever,
who will make your faithfulness known through all generations.
I will declare that your love stands firm forever,
that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Quiet our hearts and our minds before the Lord, and we'll begin with silent prayer, and then we can end together with the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we gather in the midst of Advent, rejoicing about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, reminding ourselves of his birth, and as we tremble thinking about his second coming, we also remind ourselves of that great day. And today, Father, we ask a special blessing on those who will join the church, on those who will be baptized in their families. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you give each one of us grace. We need grace to trust you, to lean on you, to live for you. And we also want to lift up to you, Father, those who are not able to be with us this morning. Ask you, Lord, to make your presence known to them where they're at. And we pray for the leaders of our nation, Lord. Grant them wisdom to govern this nation in the fear of God. And we ask, Lord, for the various wars that are going on around the world today. There are many. That you'll make wars cease to the ends of the earth. And so we ask that Christ will come soon and do that. So we give you the praise and all these things, and pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we have a very special opportunity to not only baptize two children, but to welcome five new members into our congregation. And our baptismal ritual in the hymnal is found on page 33. So I'd like to ask you if you'll open your pew hymnals to page 33. And when you get there, you'll notice that baptism and acceptance into the church is all one ritual. So I'm going to invite all of you to come up at the same time. And so if you'll just wait a minute, I'll invite you when we get to that part. I'll start off with an introduction, and then I'll invite those who are coming. But when you come to the front, to the altar rail, I would like to ask you, please bring your hymnal with you. You will need it, because there's a lot of responses of the congregation and responses of those who are joining the church or being baptized as well. Starting on page 33 on the Baptismal Covenant 1, Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation, or through reaffirmation of our faith in joining the church, we renew the covenant that was declared at our baptism. We acknowledge what God is doing for us, and we affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so now I would like to ask those who are who are going to be baptized and their parents and sponsors, will you please come? And those who are joining the church after having completed the membership class, would you please come? There are five of you. You can stay there for now. So this is Beckett, right? Hi, Beckett. Yeah, I'll shake your hand. We're going to put some water on your head today. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll try to do that as quick as possible. Would the new members come over here? That way I don't get you mixed up. Won't hurt. First of all, I'd like to say, Dad and Mom, you're doing a great job. Thank you for bringing your children to church to have baptism. This is a very holy thing, and if it is like it is in so many other people's lives, they will remember this the rest of their lives. And it'll be a very precious thing for them. So, first of all, I want to present to the congregation Madden Erickson for baptism and his brother Beckett Erickson for baptism. Okay? And then for church membership, Nancy Soltz and Daniel Soltz and Cameo Shaw and Shane Roach and Tom King, presenting all of these for membership. Now, I want to address, first of all, the parents and sponsors of those candidates who are not able to answer for themselves. And this is on page 34, halfway down. Mom and Dad and sponsors, will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And if so, you can answer, I will. Thank you. And congregation, on page 35, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? And if so, answer, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with the community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way of life. Let's join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Okay, now we're going to move over to page 37, baptism with laying on of hands. And so I'm going to bring the water to you. I think that would be easier. How's that? Okay, Madden, I'm going to put my hand in here, and there's going to be some water. This won't hurt a bit. Just like what the doctor says before he gives you a shot, right?
Yeah.
Madden, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beckett, just like your big brother, right? I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Now I'd like to ask the sponsors, and probably the sponsors, if you put your hands on their shoulders, just lay hands on them, right? Now for Madden and Beckett, as we put our hands upon you, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And everybody says, Amen. And now we want to welcome Madden and Beckett into the family of Christ. We are welcome when we're baptized. We're welcomed into the family of Christ. And as I was explaining earlier this week, in the Methodist Church and in many Protestant churches, we do practice infant baptism. And infant baptism is completed at confirmation. So it's when they're at the age where they can understand, they've gone through Sunday school, they're clarifying the scriptures, then they make a statement from themselves, and that's when we say they are confirmed in the faith. So this is the first step of that process. So now I say, I'd like to ask you all to join with me. I'll stay in the middle of page 37. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sisters, our new brothers in Christ. And we can all join and say, through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Amen. I think you guys can probably sit down now. Please come over here. Now, since we are not transferring from another church, feels like I'm too tall here. Let me come down. We're going to reaffirm our faith, okay? So I'll just say to you, remember your baptism and be thankful. And you can say, Amen. In each one of you, Shane, Cameo, Daniel, Nancy and Tom, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we are receiving you into the local congregation. So in the middle of page 38, these are the vow of membership. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? And if so, answer, I will.
I will.
And now to the congregation, following on page 38. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation, the Tawas Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you, the five of you, and the two that were just baptized, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Thank you. Would you please turn around? We'd like to welcome you. Amen. Thank you. Please. I will have your membership certificates at the door at the end of the service and the baptism certificates as well.
One thing, this is not the traditional nativity scene story. This is what really happened. This is the truth of the night Jesus was born and the next few years. So I want you to pay attention and see if you can see what the true story is. So God bless every one of you for coming, and please enjoy our play. Thank you.
A woman named Mary heard an angel one day saying, "You will have a baby in a very special way." Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us receive the King. First, she had to travel all the way to Bethlehem. Joseph led the donkey, and the Lord took care of them.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head.
cozy place was the place on Christmas morn where little baby Jesus, Son of God, was finally born.
Silent night, holy night, all is dark, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child,
shouted glory. And the shepherds ran to see, for right there in the manger was God's gift for you and me. Wise men followed the shining star looking for a king. 2 long years of searching led him up to a little boy. He grew up to be the Holy One who truly is our king.
Thank you, children, for a very good job on your Christmas program.
Let's stand and sing Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
And she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We have been in a series of messages with Bethlehem as the main theme, and we're all familiar with what happened on Christmas when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But Bethlehem has a long history of great events and a deep spiritual meaning for each one of our lives. As we learned at the beginning of the series that Bethlehem means house of bread. And when you take Jesus Christ, who called himself the bread of life, and you say he was born in the house of bread, there's some metaphors, there's some word pictures there that God's trying to get across to us. What we learned in the first message about Bethlehem was that God's spiritual food is actually more important to us than even our own physical food. That's hard to accept, but it's in truth. That's what Moses said. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in the messages about the events in Bethlehem, we found out that Rachel, Jacob's wife, remember, she died giving birth on the road to Bethlehem. She gave birth to her son Benjamin, the 12th of the tribe of Israel. And we learned in Rachel's travail on the road to Bethlehem that God's covenant requires that we trust God. We've got to trust Him. Religion is nothing without trust in God and not in ourselves. And then in the book of Ruth, which is what we're in now, we started out in chapter 1, and there we find that there is a man from Bethlehem. His name was Elimelech, and Elimelech means, my God is king. But he didn't live according to that name. He went to a forbidden, cursed land, the land of Moab, and there Elimelech and his two sons died and left his wife Naomi a widow and their two sons' wives, Ruth and Orpah, widows. And we were reminded in that part that breaking God's covenant has consequences. You can't live apart from God and contrary to God's word and God's will without consequences. They're going to come. But there's always hope. There's always hope for anyone who turns back to God. And in a congregation of this size, probably all of us or some of us have at some point in our lives wondered, will God take me back? Have I crossed the line with God? Well, if you've ever wondered that, God will take you back. If you give yourself wholly to Him, He's waiting for you. And today, we look at the end of the book of Ruth, where all the details of God's covenant are important. As Naomi is restored upon her return to Bethlehem, Obed, which is the baby, kind of a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. Obed is born. In the fourth chapter, he's born to Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And he is an early fulfillment of God's promise. But I'd like to share two verses that come just before our passage today. They are verse 11 and 12 in Ruth chapter 4. These two verses talk to us a little bit about the context. They say, then all the people were at the gate. That's the gate of the city. That's where the elders meet and make big decisions. And they were with the elders, and they said, we are witnesses. Witnesses of what? Well, there was a man in Bethlehem named Boaz. He was a relative of Elimelech. And in those days, there was a law that if a man died and left a widow, if someone didn't redeem the name of the man and the property of the man, then his name would go out of the history of the nation, and his line would cease to exist. So it was the responsibility of a relative to take the land and the widow and to have children in the name of that man who had died so as to keep his name alive. And that took a very humble person because typically that would endanger that man's own property and his own name, or it could endanger them. So Boaz was this man. And so the people at the gate say, we're witnesses, Boaz. You've made a decision. You've made a covenant. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, the wives of Jacob, who together built up the house of Israel. May you produce children in Ephrathah. Ephrathah is the region where Bethlehem is. Bethlehem means house of bread. Ephrathah means fruitful land. So may you produce children in the fruitful land and bestow a name. In other words, may your name be famous in the house of bread in Bethlehem. And through the children that the Lord will give you by this young woman, by Ruth, may your house be like the house of Perez. Perez was an earlier ancestor in the line of David and ultimately in Jesus Christ. And Perez was whom Tamar bore to Judah. This is the background of what's happening in chapter 4 here. And I want to talk about grace, and I want to talk about redemption. You know, a lot of people, they don't like to read the Old Testament. They say it's just war and blood and gore and all that stuff. Where is the love in that? Folks, you got to read more carefully. The Old Testament is filled with grace. It's filled with overwhelming love. In fact, the word we get from the New Testament, grace, is all through the Old Testament, and it's a Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word is often translated God's loving kindness. It's the same thing as grace in the New Testament. So Boaz took Ruth, this is verse 13, and she became his wife. Ruth was the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi, the mother-in-law, and Boaz married her because he had taken over all the property of Elimelech, including caring for Elimelech's wife and marrying his daughter-in-law, Ruth. And so Ruth became his wife. They came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Ruth was a woman of noble character. That's what Boaz said about her. He said, everyone knows, all the men at the gate, all the elders of the city know you're a woman of noble character. Some Bibles translate that a worthy woman. And it's very interesting because that phrase, a woman of noble character, is the exact same wording in the Hebrew as you find in Proverbs chapter 31, where the last paragraph of the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, describes a woman of noble character. And some scholars have even said they felt that Solomon, who wrote most of the book of Proverbs, was thinking about Ruth when he wrote that. Ruth would have been Solomon's great-great-grandmother. So Ruth, as much as anybody who ever lived, shows us that God can redeem the unredeemable. She was a Moabite, a cursed people, a people God. God redeemed Ruth through the life and testimony of her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi's life testimony was such that Ruth bonded with her and with her God. What is the message for us? God's grace is able to redeem anybody. God is a redeeming God. Now, that doesn't mean you can live any way you want to and get redeemed. That's not the message of redemption. There are consequences to every decision we make. And Elimelech and his two sons died. Their lives ended because they went to a cursed nation, contrary to God's will. They followed their heart instead of God's decrees. Redemption is God paying an unthinkable price to deliver hopelessly lost debtors in order to keep his eternal promise. Naomi is the hopelessly lost debtor in this story because she had to sell her family land, property, to meet out a meager existence. And whatever she was going to get for that property wasn't going to last very long. It wasn't going to help her live the rest of her life. So along comes Boaz, who not only acquired the land, but kept it in the name of Naomi's husband and married Ruth in order to keep the dead man's name alive. That's redemption in a social terms. And that redemption points us to the spiritual and eternal redemption Christ purchased on our behalf, you and me, when he died on the cross. You might say, well, I'm not hopelessly lost. I don't need that kind of redemption. Think again. Read the scriptures. We are hopelessly lost. If we judge ourselves and measure ourselves by our own standards, yeah, we're probably pretty good. But when God's standard comes into play, he's perfect. And none of us are perfect. We all fall short. The Bible says we all miss the mark. That's why we need redemption. We might see in this story God's wonderful grace. Grace that moved Ruth to follow Naomi. Grace that motivated Boaz to redeem Naomi's land and acquire Ruth as his wife. Grace that allowed Ruth to conceive and bear a child who would restore Naomi's family, but also be the great-grandfather of King David. Grace in the Old Testament is often translated, as I said, into the word loving kindness. And I would like to share one example of that. Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. But Naomi said to her two daughters, this is back in the land of Moab, where Naomi had gone with her husband and her two sons died. And Naomi heard the famine was over in the house of bread in Bethlehem, and so she was going to go back home. And she said to her two daughters-in-law, girls, stay here. Go back to your mother's house. She'll help find you two husbands. Stay in your own place. Stay with your family. Stay with your pagan gods. Stay there. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Isn't that interesting? Naomi is telling these girls to go back home to Moab. They worshipped idols, really wicked idols. But Naomi says, may the Lord deal kindly with you. Now, she was talking about, you know, that they would have a family, they would have children, and they would live a good life. But she was also talking about God's word, grace, which means God can find you anywhere. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed from God. It doesn't matter how deep you've gone into sin. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're addicted to something. It doesn't matter if you've cursed God. It doesn't matter. God's love is that powerful. He can find you and He can redeem you no matter where you are. That's what Naomi's saying. May the Lord deal kindly with you. And so she's blessing Ruth and Orpah, and to make a long story a little bit longer, Orpah left. She went back home. Nothing wrong with that. But Ruth said, nope. And you heard, it wasn't in the sermon last week, but chapter 1, verse 18, Ruth said to Naomi, don't tell me to go back. I'm going with you. You can't persuade me to leave you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. Your God will be my God. And may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates us. Ruth was committed to Naomi. And she wasn't just committed to Naomi. She was committed to Naomi's good interests. She was going to live her life for Naomi's good interests. That's grace. And that's what God does for us on the cross. Now I'm going to skip the other two instances of God's loving kindness and go to the slide on Redeemer. This is verse 14. Then the women said to Naomi, this is at the birth of Obed. Verse 14. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin. That's that key word. I'm going to talk about that. And may his name be renowned in Israel. Next of kin. Some Bible versions use the word kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. And I'll just explain that in just a minute. But a kinsman redeemer. This is what they called a male relative who could marry a dead man's widow and have children to carry on the dead man's name and his lineage. It means he takes on the responsibility of keeping the family name alive. And he takes responsibility for any debt or any assets that the man has. Boaz was a man of God in a day when there weren't many men of God. Chapter 1 says, the book of Ruth took place during the day of the judges. And in the days of the judges, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. No one followed God. They used their own common sense. They didn't follow the word of God. It's very much like America today. People don't read the scripture. They don't follow the word of God. They think, I'm spiritual, I'm okay. That's like it was. And what happened? They had civil war. The whole tribe of Benjamin was almost wiped out. Unthinkable immorality took place. And Boaz shined like a light in that period. He was a man of God. He was a man of integrity. And he was an example for us. And so he was willing to redeem Naomi and her land. And then baby Obed, the baby of Ruth. Baby Obed is called these wonderful names in verse 15, a restorer of life, a nourisher of your old age. Because he brought hope for the next generation, and Ruth's love made that possible. To a large degree, this kind of love is fading in our society today, in our generation. It's fading. Not many people are really willing to give their lives for another person, like Jesus did when he died on the cross. Jesus is the ultimate example of this kind of love. Boaz and Ruth are a correction for our generation. Boaz, a man of integrity. Ruth, a woman of noble character. Both giving their lives for the benefits of somebody else. Both pointing to Christ, who gave his life that we might live eternally. It's truly amazing to me that a number of young families endure immense suffering in our society and they don't ask for help. The suffering in society is unbelievable. Single mothers suffering with children, families breaking up, even when there's lots of children in the family, breaking up. They go through all kinds of suffering, and there's all kinds of help available, but they're not asking. That's the society we live in today. Let's not settle for less than a life of true dignity and holiness. Let's press in to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven and is coming again. The chapter ends with two testimonies. Naomi's testimony. She takes the baby Obed into her arms and nurses the baby. This is a testimony of Naomi saying, yes, I accept this child that my daughter-in-law has born as the one who will carry on the name of my husband. And then the ladies in the neighborhood, they name him. And the ladies in the neighborhood say, a son has been born to Naomi. They call him son of Naomi because Naomi is the grandmother. And they named him Obed because he would be the father of Jesse, and Jesse would be the father of David. Obed is a direct line pointing to Jesus Christ. And so on the day when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he wasn't just in a town where there wasn't any room, an obscure little town. No, there was a lineage there. That lineage was filled with God's plans and God's promises. And your life and my life are a result of God's plans and God's promises. All we have to do is follow Jesus. Amen? Father, thank you for our time together this morning. It's been a beautiful morning. Guide and direct each one of us as we conclude in the next week or so. Not only the Christmas season, but look forward to the end of the year. Grant that this year may end gloriously for your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.